he's married and he has a crush on me and that he has some sort of carnal desires, and I said, oh no, we're done. Anytime a man uses carnal desires at me.
Oh, he used that word.
Yes.
Oh, I thought you just got like really saved in your speech just now.
Nope. He said carnal desires, and that makes me uncomfortable. And anytime a man uses the words carnal, I know you watch Serial Killer Podcast for information.
Thank you for watching the Joke A Day podcast or tuning in however you chose to find us. Thank you for watching us. If you have been following us, thank you for checking out another episode. If not, please like and subscribe. Follow the podcast. Check us out. Tell a friend. Do all of that because we got a lot of good content for you and more on the way.
In the archives.
Okay, that's my co-host. First of all, my name is Lionel Harris. I don't think I said it. My co-host is Dead Ninja. I think that's his preferred pronouns. Dead Ninja David Griffin.
That's correct. Let's just keep it right there.
That's where you at.
Yeah, don't go too high like you was doing with all that illustrious.
We stopped.
Yeah.
Don't hate me because I read Webster's when I was a kid. So you know what I'm saying?
Yeah, all y'all with them words. Y'all, some them words.
Right.
Yeah.
Reading.
I told you, New Orleans public schools.
I got you. Well, since we already starting with you being a little aggravated, what is pissing David off today?
Well, we're really like something. Okay.
All right.
I hate people that's talented but also work hard. Like, you got to pick one.
So you hate me?
But yeah, I don't like talented people with like work ethics. Like, right, you know what I'm saying? Like, you can't have it all, fam. Like, you gotta stop somewhere. You know what I'm saying? Like, don't be talented and outwork me. You know what I'm saying? Like,
why do you think
you're
that
doing
is?
Too much? Because you're doing too much.
You don't think it's bringing to like, light?
Why don't you
maybe
just,
some
why don't
of
you
your
just rest? Like rest, what they say? Rest on your laurels. That's what it is.
Yeah,
like,
yeah, yeah.
Like
yeah.
Just rest in your talent. You
look
know what I'm saying?
You,
like,
look
don't
at you with the vocabulary.
Like, don't don't get up early and work hard. You
right, know what I'm right, saying? Like, right, you, right, right. Sleep know, late if you're talented.
Sleep, right. That's what sleep I'm saying. In. Yeah. Sleep in. Yeah. You know what I'm saying?
Don't pick a lane.
Don't be up at 6 a.m. if you're talented. You know?
I'm sorry,
like,
man.
Writing jokes.
I think as we get to know each other more, the truth is coming out, bro. I've seen how you really feel.
You know,
we'll talk off camera about some of this right here.
I mean, that's, you know what I mean? That's just my personal gripe. Like, y'all don't have to agree with me. I'm just saying, I'm sick of people who are talented and work hard. Like, you can't be like, you know what I'm saying? Like when a handsome person can sing.
Right. I understand what
like,
you're saying.
You already handsome.
Well, I mean, I kind of feel like.
And then you work on like, you know what I'm saying? Like, you.
The best example for me would be like Jamie Foxx. Of talent.
But
talent.
Yeah.
Because it's like, how can you sing that well and be funny?
Right.
Like, that's not fair.
That's what I'm saying.
And act, but and be an athlete.
But see, the thing was, if you see the early pictures of Jamie.
Yeah, we ain't talking about, forget the handsome part.
Yeah,
I ain't leaving that off. I'm leaving that off.
That's why he cultivated all of that talent, because he had that Jerry curl and them teeth early on.
That was Eric Bishop.
Yeah.
I want Jamie. Correct. That was Eric Bishop right there. So today we got a, I always say we got a special guest, but but this one's special.
Yeah, it's special.
Because she let us know she was special.
Yeah.
With her non-punctuality. She was like, let them wait. We've been in here with bated breath waiting for her to come
I'm
up
so
in here.
Sorry.
We're like, is she coming? Is that her? I saw somebody behind the glass.
Somebody,
I thought it was her.
He saw Lizzo. He saw Lizzo on
no,
a t-shirt
no,
and
it was
like,
it was a lady.
He saw a silhouette and got excited.
And
he was like, that was.
I can't believe Jill Scott's in this library.
Nah,
what is happening?
No, the blinds is down. It's a little crack through there. And
right,
I saw a woman walk past. I was like,
he's like, there go Liz.
Oh, there go Liz right there.
Go open the door.
And I texted her. She's like, nope.
Absolutely not.
Sit back on your hands and wait. So here we go. She's been in the scene a little longer than me, but I would say from the start, I've known her. And she's worked the Funny Bone, improv, festivals, worked with some industry greats, writes for Huffington Post. She got a little resume out here. Like, you know what I'm saying? I'm a tutor horn for her. She a killer on stage and an actress for sketch and improv.
Yeah.
She's a mother.
Yeah.
She's a friend.
Yeah.
It's some other stuff we probably going to find out in this interview. Give it up for Liz Barlow.
Yeah. Hi. thank y'all so much for having me and waiting for me.
Yeah. What else we gonna do?
Right. You know what I mean? The camera said it was like somebody. Yeah, no, yeah.
She came. I was gonna be Liz.
Yeah. I knew something was up when Rose Bearers came in this day first when she walked in.
Absolutely were, not. Oh my God.
Before Liz walked in, we saw all of this.
Do you understand how hard it is to be like fake famous? Like people, I went to homecoming. I went to George Mason University.
Okay.
Get Money University.
Okay.
And people come up to you and they're like, "Oh my God, my famous friend." It's like, do you understand? When I leave here, I have to go do payroll because I still work a regular job. Yeah. I have employees. I have a supervisor. There's no the people not throwing flowers. I'm not the queen of Zamunda. Mm. I just tell jokes occasionally. Okay.
All right. So who was the people that came in here first? Not
you gonna have to ask the library.
Okay. All right. Okay. It was just people.
Yeah.
Yeah. Nobody knows we tape in the library. Don't be giving up. Let me tell all our business.
My bad.
Tell it all our business.
My bad.
Give it away the secrets.
If y'all ever wonder why we speak like NPR.
I thought we're going to do an ASMR episode. When I was a child.
We were slitters.
Yeah. I like to try sweaty balls. They were that SNL sketch. You remember?
My sweaty balls.
Sweaty balls. So, all right, let's just get right into it.
Yes, the burning question. Did you get your Dutch oven?
Yes.
Okay, for Christmas. I knew it was.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, where did that come from?
So, I end up getting two. My mom, but this happens every year. I say I want something, and I say it to my mom, but of course, I mention it to my line sisters, and I have two. And one of my line sisters, we're best friends, we've known each other since the first day of ninth grade. She'll hear it and think, oh, I should get her that too. And so I end up with two of a lot of the same things. So now I have two royal blue Dutch ovens.
Mm. Love it.
I love it.
Weird flex, but
yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Because I was wondering after I heard you say you wanted one for Christmas, I was like, did she get it? Yeah. Did she get it?
Now, you didn't set that up properly. So you she just got off the road.
Right, it was burning in my soul to ask the question.
I saw you came out.
Yeah, I was aggressive with it. I'm sorry.
We gotta say where the question came from.
I'm sorry.
Right. She just got off the road.
Yeah.
Let's see, who were you on the road with? Nicole Byer.
Nicole Byer. Mm-hmm.
And you were on her podcast.
Yeah.
I was on her podcast.
And a lot of things were said.
Oh, my gosh.
And that was one of the earlier, that was one of the things at the top of the show.
Yeah.
You want a Dutch oven.
I had to know.
Yeah, it was a lot of dating things. We not going to get into that.
Thank you. I appreciate it.
We not going to get into that. That's not the name of our podcast.
Right.
But yeah, how was it touring with Nicole? And how did that come to be?
So, technically, I still tour with Nicole. I actually be with her in Phoenix in a couple weeks. Nice. No, literally next weekend. I have been working the improv, DC improv, pretty regularly.
Mm-hmm.
And then I just, like every other comic, I go, I look at the calendar. I don't know about anybody else's process, but I go look at the calendar and I see who is what's a pretty good chance of me being able to host.
Mm-hmm.
And so I reached out to them and I said, can I please host for Nicole Byer? I think we'd be a great mix. And they said yes. And I hosted five shows. Yes. You know, five show weekend.
Mm-hmm.
And she was like, do you want to come to Denver in the summer? And I was like, yeah. That was in April. I didn't think anything of it. You know, in comedy, somebody's like, yeah, you know what I'm saying? I got you. I'm going to take you on an 80-city tour. And you go nowhere. Right. So she actually reached out. Like, her team was like, hey, Liz, we got your flight information. And I was like, oh, I'm going to Denver.
Yeah.
Okay, great. So that's where it started. I went to Denver. I did Comedy Works. We had a great time.
Dope.
Then, yeah. It was so much fun. So much fun. Denver is a very...
It's a dope scene, though.
It's a dope scene. I got to meet other black comics from out there. They took me to this black arts festival because one thing about me, my spidey senses are going to tingle. Where are black people at? I'm going to go find them. I do know that when I was there, I said, oh, everybody here is high? Listen, I don't smoke, I don't drink, I don't do any of that stuff.
Okay.
I don't do drugs. But if people want to get high on weed, it's not my favorite, but whatever.
Yeah.
Denver people are on that stuff.
Yeah.
It was like a girl nodding out in the street.
Mm-hmm.
And I said, ma'am, are you okay? And she just looked at me and grumbled off, you know, how white people, it's like, you do know that you're homeless.
Right.
You don't have to give me at it, you know, but that's besides the point. Anyway, Denver was great. Denver was wonderful. Yeah. Then we started doing theaters. So I did House of Blues in Houston. And then the next day we did Texas Theater in Dallas. Then the next month I got to do the Apollo.
Oh,
which was incredible. And then we did the Wilbur Theater in Boston for two shows back to back. And then, you know, by the time this comes out, I'll already be done, but we'll be in Phoenix next week. So I'll be in Phoenix.
That's
Arizona.
What's up. I'll just piggyback. Denver was culture shock for me.
Yeah.
Even though, like, my mother and I have brothers and everything that lived there, that grew up there.
Okay.
So I didn't grow up with some of my brothers and sisters, okay? So some of them were raised out in Colorado Springs and Denver, that gotcha. Whole thing. And I did a headline of a festival in 2018. And it was the first time, it was before weed was legal, most mm-hmm. places. It was still just there. But that was the first time I got my taste of you just roll down the window.
Yeah.
And it's just like everywhere.
Everywhere.
Everywhere. Because we weren't even in Denver proper. And when I got in Denver proper, I saw the same exact things you
yeah.
saw. And there's very bougie homeless, though. Very yeah. bougie, like with a sign asking for quinoa. I'm yeah. like, quinoa?
I'm gluten free and yeah. houseless.
Right.
Thanks.
Like, you want what? You yeah. want you want me to take you to like cuz you need to take this combo meal. You want
yeah,
me to get
like
you
you're
mixed
gonna
greens?
Get a biggie bag. Yeah.
Right.
Okay, yeah. you're welcome.
Four for four.
You're four for four.
Yeah.
We were walking, so Nicole loves to thrift when she's in the city, and so we'll go with her. In Denver, I was hosting, so the feature there is Christy Summers. So we all go and we explore, because we're there for 3 days. And it was just homeless people, and they were like, there's a dog in that car. Do you think that dog is okay? And I'm like, ma'am, no offense. Your teeth have seen better days.
Mm.
Your clothes have seen better days.
Rough.
Maybe not. yeah. Maybe not.
Don't worry
about
the
dog yeah, in yeah. the car.
The okay? dog in the car. Right.
I appreciate your humanity, but I think there are other steps in between yeah. that we need to be concerned about.
Like gingivitis.
Yeah.
yeah. whole host of things that you yeah. could
you know?
Be worried about.
So it's been really fun being on tour and seeing her crowd, you know, kind of embrace me and follow me and stuff like that. So it's a whirlwind, but it's a good time.
Okay. Well, I wasn't planning on going in this order, but the Dutch oven led to that.
Okay.
So we're going to be going around and around.
Cool.
But you asked about fans.
Yes.
Then you have
yeah,
a question
yeah,
related.
Say,
let's stay where we at.
Unexpected fans from, like, being on tour with her or just through your comedy in general?
Yeah. I mean, every time I leave her stage, you know, I'm looking like, oh, I get 300 followers. Being on her podcast, I got so many followers. So it's great because I get to kind of cultivate my audience, and, you know, some of that is transferable. Like, they're like, we really liked you in Dallas, and, you know, people will comment. And then I also get some unwanted
yeah.
fans. Literally today, opened my DMs, and there was a man that left me a 2-paragraph message
yeah, he did.
About how he is married, but he has a crush on me. And if you know anything about my baby daddy, that's not uncommon. But he's married, and he has a crush on me, and that he has some sort of carnal desires. And I said, oh, no, we're done. Anytime a man uses carnal desires at me.
Oh, he used that word.
Yes.
Oh, I thought you just got like nope, really nope, saved nope. in your speech just now.
Nope. He okay. said carnal desires, and that makes me uncomfortable in
Take
any
that
sense.
That meant you, huh?
Yeah, that means he tried to fetish you then.
Very
That's
much.
That's what it sounded like then. That sounded like he was on some, yeah.
Yeah.
That
was weird.
He let you into his search history.
Yeah.
Yeah, made me do this.
Yeah.
Like, carnal. You had to clutch your pearl yeah. a little bit. Like, carnal. Excuse me? Oh,
yeah. You need on, to sir. Repent.
Yeah.
Repent.
Anytime a man use the words carnal, I know you watch Serial Killer podcasts for information. So I don't. I was like, sir, I will send this to your spouse. Please don't play with me.
Oh, he's doing it for research.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like, now what did he do?
Okay.
I wouldn't have done that.
All right. Well, now we got to get to my burning questions.
Okay.
All right. So I've known you for a while.
Yeah.
And most, if not all, of our interactions, you roasted me for being old. calling me a deacon.
I don't know that I roasted you.
Yeah. So my home, my question is that wasn't a question. Okay. That was a statement.
Okay.
Yeah, the question is, why do you hate old people? What is up with ageism? What do you have against the elderly?
My child thought you were her grandfather.
Well, I didn't get to that part. Well, see, I didn't get to that part. We're going to get there later. So you're raising.
I did not know this.
You're raising offspring.
I did not know this.
Let me just recall this. I called Liz, audience, to ask her if she wanted to do the podcast. Mm-hmm. I'm on speakerphone. Her daughter said, Papa.
I mean, that baby just heard what she heard.
She's trained. She definitely inherited that. Like, she's like, come on, man. I'm concerned about the future. She training them, raising up the next generation to hate the elderly.
I don't hate the elderly. I love old people. I just think that you and old people have a lot of similarities.
I was the same age you are now when you started, weren't it? Ain't you around the same age I was when I started?
I'm 33.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Same age as Jesus.
Correct. I'm in my Jesus year. I've been very blessed.
Yeah.
I want you to backtrack what you just said. Let's just dissect the sentence. I was the same age you are now.
Yeah.
When we started 8 years ago.
But my point is
how math works.
Well, look. I'm trying to get you to embrace this transitive property.
Okay.
Well, just hear me out. Because if I was old then, what does that make you if we were the same age when I started? For we already established I'm old.
Listen,
I'm trying to get where you at. You know what I mean?
I have no problem embracing that I'm an auntie. I'm in my auntie age.
Okay.
I already know what kind of auntie I am.
I am not a grandfather.
Well,
I'm not. That's
my kid thinks you are. Yeah, so saying that the 2-year-old is wrong? Or
kids lie all the time.
But she just heard your voice.
Yeah.
She literally just heard your voice. Just, what's that? Papa? I said, that's not grandpa. That's not papa.
Okay. I mean, no, I'm not. I'm not old enough to be Liz's dad. I wasn't 8 when I had my first child. Well, that's my point.
You could have been 18, and I think that math is a little more closely to what we're looking at.
18
here.
Years older than you, cuz? No, ma'am. No. Who payroll you doing with that math? Somebody go get check. Go get wrong, bro.
Sure.
Yeah.
Oh my gosh.
No, ma'am.
I'm an auntie. I realize that. I'm the cuss out auntie.
Mm-hmm.
It's my favorite trait about myself right now. At 33, if my 4 nephews, they come to me, where they at? Because I'm gonna curse somebody out.
Mm-hmm.
The baseball coach cursing them out. The teacher cursing them out. Your mama, not so much. But everybody else.
Okay. Yeah. So we established your baseline with age. Is that why you hate 90s R&B?
I don't hate 90s R&B.
You told me on the phone call that you hate 90s R&B. I want to know why you hate.
I don't hate 90s R&B, David, because I'm not even addressing
what I'm No, anymore. That's what she told me.
What I hate is people's fixation on, oh man, you know what I'm saying? Back in Jodeci, they're crackheads. Do you realize that?
Yeah.
Anybody that's in the desert, leather outfits on.
Right.
They're in Denver in their mind.
It don't have to make sense.
It don't.
It's show business.
I just feel like the hyper fixation on like Drew Hill. Have you ever rewatched a Drew Hill video?
Let me tell you. It's literally
insane. It's like, why is there a Renaissance theme from dudes from Baltimore?
Right.
They've never been to any sort of Renaissance. Have you ever seen Druid Hill?
It's because they were trying to unleash the dragon.
Okay.
There you go. There you go.
That's what
Again,
it was. They
I
were
know
trying
that
to unleash
that's
the
time
dragon.
Period of where you grew up. I'm talking about the Renaissance.
So you mean to tell me that teenage Liz didn't make her body go bump, bump, bump?
Okay, but that is 2000s R&B, okay? Now we're starting to get into the classics.
Yeah, okay.
The classics.
Yes.
Okay. 2000s, the classics.
The classics. I go back and listen to B2K albums, and I'm like, wow. Okay, masterpiece.
Mm. You said masterpiece.
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 That's what I heard.
Masterpiece writing. I go back and listen to Pretty Ricky, which probably shouldn't have been marketed to teenage girls. Mm-mm. But whatever. Mm-mm. Okay. I got a grape soda, bag of chips. That's all I got. Yeah, because sometimes all I do have in this life mm-hmm. is a grape soda, a bag of chips, and I'm still going to go have a good time with my friends.
All right.
That's really the baseline of 2000s R&B. We don't have much. Okay. We're just kids, but we're going to have a good time. 90s R&B is struggle. All of us are on crack.
No, drugs. You got to think.
We're drunk.
No, you got Baduism leading into, you got you got Words and Sounds, Jill Scott. You got the neo-soul movement. All that. No, that's classics. How can you say neo-soul ain't one classic?
Listen, if I want to clean my house top to bottom, absolutely.
Oh, God, the disrespect. The disrespect.
If I need to get the gutters, if I need to get to window washing, absolutely.
Mm. Come on, man. You got to defend better.
You
know? I'm the judge. She thought to turn me against my own era.
She want to clean her house.
That's what I'm saying. It's not a lie because your house will be spotless.
That's
the real hard labor stuff. You like, let me put on this Jill Scott album because I got to clean my curtains. You know, the stuff like that.
The baseboards.
Yeah, I got to get the baseboards.
You're not cleaning the mama's gun.
Of course you are.
To mama's gun?
Yeah, you vacuum out your car to mama's gun. Mm. Yeah. Let me move this car seat out the way because I got this. Let me put on.
Come on, man. What
My
you
eyes
doing?
Are green because I eat a lot of vegetables. Yeah. She got a vacuum.
Go ahead and get, what you get doing? The little cheeses out the back.
Come on. Attack B2K or something.
B2K don't need me to attack. They were B2K.
And what about it?
Talk about Omarion. Say something about it.
What about it?
I'm not going to touch Omarion, bro. Right. I'm going to leave him right
what
there.
What about it? Yeah, if I want to clean my house, I want to get in real good, you know, hang up my clothes on a clothesline, I might put some D'Angelo like on. Yeah.
What? Now you're just being hurtful.
I love D'Angelo. Virginia forever. Yeah. I love D'Angelo.
From the same side of town, everything. 804 Southside. Come on, man.
And if I need to get in there and I need to start rearranging the beans in my cabinet, that's what I'm going to put on.
You got beans? You rearrange beans?
I am a Southern woman. Now listen, I have dry beans.
Okay.
From scratch.
All right.
Okay.
She got a new Dutch oven to put them in.
Correct.
There you go. That Dutch oven, baby.
Yeah. I don't want that to be mistaken. Blue. I have two. Mm-hmm.
Every artist that she disrespected, I apologize on her behalf. She don't know what she's saying.
I love y'all.
You didn't do a good job defending them. Yeah. Like I said.
All you did was just.
I told you I was the neutral party in the situation.
That's because you ain't have a comeback either.
I just didn't want to see bias.
I'm trying to get cut down. You like the chalk outline already?
I'm not trying to jump nobody. I'm just trying to look at a good fight. I'm just saying. She hit you with some haymakers.
She did. She worked me. Yeah. Late. And
I don't even
still,
listen to the 90s R&B no more.
I know, bro. I'm going to have to clean my playlist out. Forget clean the house.
Just terrible. What y'all listen to? Kim? I feel like y'all are Kim listeners. Like y'all go and y'all buy the law and see.
Come on. What are you doing right now? What are you doing?
Kim with an E.
I did when he first came out. I'm an old soul. So I was always older than myself anyway.
I listened to Tank. That was
in the bangers?
Right.
Tank and the bangers.
Right.
That's
Tank and the bangers. That's from New Orleans.
Yeah.
But
you want a thug R&B.
Thug love. You know.
Listening to Tank, you can tell the exact moment he takes his shirt off in the booth. Like, you know, it's like right now, I know you don't have any clothes on. Sorry, this is actually uncomfortable for me, but thank you. I enjoy the music, but please put your tank top back on.
He be on social media always singing some gospel now. Every time I see him now, he be trying to sit beside I saw a jank with him doing a worship. A little worship that he buzzed out. You don't know what I'm talking about? You see that clip? I think he was like Jamie Foxx or somebody. He was sitting beside somebody on the piano.
Mm-hmm. Oh, I know what you're talking about.
Yeah, every time that might have just been the pandemic. Everybody was calling on the Lord during the pandemic. Everybody needed his God during the pandemic.
So I was about to join the virtual usher board in the pandemic. I was like, I could do this. It's not hard.
But you got to touch people. It's the usher.
The virtual usher board.
Yeah.
Let me go ahead and mute her because she's going to be hollering. She laid out. So let me mute her. I could do that.
That's like the equivalent of laying
the blanket up. So let me go ahead and mute her because she laid out.
Mm-hmm. That's it.
All right, we're going to move on. In defeat, I'm just going to change the subject. Yeah, it was a clean break.
That's how you do it.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. One of your credits is writing for Huffington
Post.
And how'd you get your start writing?
So it's so funny. I would have never thought I would be a writer. I mean, I was okay in English, but I didn't think I would write. And then I cut all my hair off at 26, 27. And I wanted to write about the experience. And I knew a friend from Facebook who worked at the Huffington Post. And I said, hey, can I pitch you this article? And so I wrote it. And it was talking about my relationship to hair versus my mother's relationship to that. And it did pretty well. And then the next thing, I had written some other articles for different websites. But the next thing was Insecure. So Insecure comes out. And we get through the first season. I do have a very popular article, not on the Huffington Post, from that first season of Insecure that has gotten me blocked by a couple of the cast members. So
really?
Mm-hmm. So I wrote an article about Kelly from Insecure.
Okay.
She did not seem to find my critique of her character nice, I guess. And I'm blocked. It's okay. Once I meet her, I'll explain. And I'll still probably remain blocked. And then,
but you got a chance.
But I got a chance.
To plead your case.
Yeah. Right. And so the second season comes out, and there's a character that is played by Dominique Perry. And I remember it distinctly. Like, I was like, I almost felt like I was an out-of-body experience writing it. Because it was the shortest article I've ever written in the amount of time it took me to write it. I wrote it in 40 minutes and proofed it and then sent it on to her and sans like a little bit of the corrections. Exactly what I wrote in that 40 minutes is what's on the article. And it was like a top 10 article, had over like 40,000 hits on Huffington Post. But it was truly just like, okay, I'm a writer and I have a perspective and this is what I have to say. And so, you know, knowing people that knew people, I was also kind of in the blogger space when I was younger and kind of connecting with people from there. And I met somebody that worked at the Huffington Post and I submitted articles. And that's how I ended up there.
That's dope.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
You had a follow up.
Yeah. I actually have a quote from the article, I believe the one you're talking about.
Pull
with
the
hair.
Yes.
It says, when you're a free black woman with no ties to hegemonic beauty standards, the world will let you know that it doesn't, and I think it's like you, and then it doesn't like it. I didn't write the rest of the quote.
Okay.
Because that's neither here nor there.
Okay.
Because my question is, why were you using words like hegemonic back in 2016? Like, I don't understand. You think you better than me? That's
what? I went to Virginia Beach school system, so I'm not really. No shade.
She
was one for me. She was the other one.
Yeah, yeah. I was a little bit offended that I had to go, Google that word.
Google,
you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
I was like, how dare you?
Yeah.
How dare she?
You know, I wrote it for people who may already know what hegemonic means.
Oh, okay. So.
I'm so glad that you had time to research.
So I'm not your target audience, is what you're saying. Okay. All right.
Why? I mean, you work at a school. Why can't it be used that? Why can't you be educational in them? Why don't you hope that people are going to pick up a thesaurus after they read the article? You know what
really
I mean?
Really do. Like,
I mean, that's what happened here.
He went and Googled. Yeah. I'm sure you had to Google too. I just feel like.
Don't assume things. You know what I mean?
I think the reason I wrote it that way is because in the space that I was, my target audience already knew what that word
was. You don't have to put people down to feel bad about yourself. I just want you to know that we can all come. You can lift us up, and we can all thrive together. You know what I'm saying?